Kiddos, come and join me up here. We're not going to sit down yet, so I want y'all to stand up today. No light today. Not that kind of light anyway. All right, somebody come here, Bullfrog. I want you to read something for me. That verse that's underlined right there, what does it say?
Pray without ceasing.
Ooh. Now, pray. When y'all go back there every week, do y'all have a time of prayer?
Yeah.
Who do you pray for? What do you pray for?
We pray for friends, family, people who are hurt, or for the Lord to protect us.
Okay. Anything else?
What we should really do.
Not what you should. What do you pray for back there? I read them. We read them in Brother Rick and Brother Dane. We read them every week and pray with y'all. That isn't all y'all pray about.
A lot of other stuff like it.
Yeah, like some of y'all pray for your pets, don't you?
Yep.
Okay. Pray for pets. Do you pray for anybody that's sitting out here?
Mom and Dad.
Your mom and dad? You pray for them?
Yes.
You pray for some other people?
Well, yep.
Okay.
I just pray about tonight and for lunch.
And lunch today. Good. Any of y'all praying about lunch right now? I see some of you. I see that hand back there, Matthew Moore. They put the pretty ones out front, don't they, Matthew? That's what he told Logan when Logan worked in the back. Matthew worked in the front. Well, I want y'all to help me pray. Do you think these people out here need to be prayed for?
I saw the hand.
Okay. All right. So what I want y'all to do, I want you to spread out all around this room here. Spread out. Go take a place. All right? Somebody in the back, somebody on the side. All right? You're going to pray right here. Okay? All right, somebody. We need some people over here.
Somebody in the middle.
No, we don't need anybody in the middle. We need everybody on the outside. Pray. Okay? All right? Y'all ready? Now, we're going to pray for all these people right here. But let me tell you, there's some prayer requests. Y'all ought to see some of the things that they pray for you guys. It's awesome. So, let's pray for them right now. Let's bow our heads. And Brother Dusty's going to lead us in the prayer. But y'all pray for all these people here. Lord, we're praying for all the big people right here that we're surrounding right now. Lord, some of them have deep, deep needs. And today we're praying that you'll help them. They'll feel your presence and they'll accept your power in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do y'all receive this prayer from the children? Okay. Okay, kiddos, y'all can go to Kids Zone. When we read those prayer requests, that's particularly the ones from the children on Monday mornings, and we look at those, they don't have the man-imposed filters yet. And they just spit out what's on their hearts. Thankfully, those who are recording them try to record that faithfully without being out of line or anything, but they record that. And so we get the spirit of that. And that's an awesome thing to know little children are praying for you. Isn't it? It works both ways. All righty. Today we're going to talk about preparation. We looked last week at our theme verse for 2017 year. Let me stop on 2017 and say, are you excited about 2017? What is God going to do in 2017? Do you feel Him stirring the pot? Can you feel it? Is He stirring the pot in your life that already you can see possibilities that you hadn't seen yet? But God's going to do some great things. Now, our theme verse from the NIV, and I believe, man, in this case, the NIV did a wonderful job of preserving the exact sense of what this verse was in the original. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. Last week, sermon was New Life or New Year. We saw five results in those New Testament believers' lives that verse speaks of. And here they are. They had a method that every day, what that phrase means, it means day upon day. In other words, what God did in your life today, tomorrow, He's going to build on that. This is this idea of preparation. You go to build a house, what do? Get a good foundation first. And then you build on it. And you build on it. They lived their new life day upon day. Secondly, they had a mission. Their new life affected both their public, it says in the temple, and private, house to house. So it was a life that was consistent. My daddy used to tell me and my brother, he tried to teach us a lot of things. We had a hard head. In fact, many times he said, you know, it looks like you boys are just destined to learn everything the hard way. But, you know, we did listen to this one thing. He said, if you tell the truth all the time, now listen to this, you'll never have to remember the last thing you told anybody. Think about that for a minute. Am I making my lie consistent with the last lie that I told this person? Or just tell the truth? Just be yourself. Right now, if some of you could just bust out and just be yourself, wherever you are, I'm not talking about being rude, I'm not talking about being obnoxious, but just to be yourself. Boy, that would relieve a load off of your shoulders right now. Because some of you are trying to live one life publicly and another life privately, and it doesn't work. They were living the same life. Three, they had a manner. They didn't let circumstances get in the way. The Scripture says they continued their manner. Have you already had some obstacles to the new things that you believe God was leading you to do this year? Have you already run into some obstacles? Have you? Oh, none of you have run into any obstacles yet. Let me give you some of mine. If you don't have enough, of course you've run into obstacles. Because who is out there standing in your way that doesn't want you to succeed in your Christian life? Who is it? The evil one, and the world system, and your own flesh. That unholy triumvirate standing in your way. So they had a manner. They weren't letting circumstances. Number four, they had a means. They showed people how to have this new life. What they did, what they said, who they were. There was a means of their life, and it was consistent in their lives. They're just living it out. Now these guys and these gals were not perfect people, but God used them on a daily basis. And finally, saw last week, this new life, they had a message. And the message was this. The new life only comes through Jesus the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And as we illustrated last week, that one statement sets the world right now, the whole political world, the whole world. That one statement would set them on edge, wouldn't it? Go scream that out in the United Nations right now. Run in there and say, Jesus is the Messiah. Run into Jerusalem. Better than that, like I said to you last week. Run to the Temple Mount and scream that out. It matters. He's the Messiah. Okay. So, but how can these five things, these areas, Pastor, that's them back then. But how about me? How can those things become operative in my life today? Answers in today's sermon. It all starts with preparation. It all starts with preparation. Y'all believe that? I started painting something when I was a young married man. My wife had asked me to, Miss Audrey had asked me to paint this lamp that she had. It was a floor lamp. And I said, Ben, that's easy. I've done a lot of painting. I've dug a lot of ditches. I've done a lot of manual. This is easy. And so I already had the paint there, and I started painting. Man, it was going on just as nice. And a few minutes later, I noticed what I was painting was starting to crinkle up, and the paint was just running down the side. And it was like it wouldn't stick. Anybody had that experience? You know exactly what happened. I was using water-based paint, and I was painting over oil-based paint, and it wouldn't stick. Where? For those of you listening in our internet audience, that was the slaw dog. Okay. I had failed in preparation. It all starts with proper preparation. That's what this scripture is about that we're going to read today. This is from the book of Acts. I told you we were going to camp out in the book of Acts for a while. We're probably going to do that for several months at least. And from the New Living Translation, let's read this together. We're going to read the first 15 verses. And I'm just going to work my way through it with you. We'll stop and make a few comments. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus. Now, who's the author here? Author is Dr. Luke. What was his first book? Luke, Gospel of Luke. And so that was the first book. So the book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. If you read the last few verses of Luke, you see that. Giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. We have record of those appearances. Remember we had the fish fry down on the, John records that, he has the fish fry. All those appearances, the appearance, in the room there with the disciples, once when, Thomas was present, once when he was not. During those 40 days. Now let's stop there for a minute. 40 days. What happened 50 days after his resurrection? Pentecost. So we're looking forward to that. That's Acts chapter 2. So I want you to understand where we are in context. During those 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. He proved them in many ways he was actually alive. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. Did he prove that he was alive? Better believe he did. Now, all the wags of that day, they had plenty of opportunity to prove that he was still dead, produced the body. But what did they see? A live body. Okay, verse 4. Once when he was in with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift they promised. What was the gift they promised? Jesus spoke of it, began giving that message. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but in a few days, you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit's going to come. There's going to be that baptism in the Spirit. Boy, we see that. Happened at Pentecost. We're going to talk about that another day. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, Lord, is the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? They wanted to know about all these things. Well, people are asking those same questions right now. Yes, they are. Asking the same question. What's going on? And hear his reply. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and time, and they're not for you to know. Now, he gives you a prophetic word about, but the absolute specifics of them, we leave them to the Lord. But get what he says. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, remember? And throughout all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at the book of Acts. How's the book of Acts outlined? Just like that. You start in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. So here he's being faithful to that. All right, go on to the next one, John. And after saying this, he was taken up to a cloud. What do we call that when he was taken up? We call that the ascension. Ascension. Imagine what that looked like. Y'all been to those illusionist shows, you know, where the guy just rises up. But they always have a ceiling, don't they? They don't just keep going on up. Here's Jesus. He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. They could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. What were those? What do we call people that have a message from God? They are messengers or angels. Greek word, angelos. And here's what they said. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Are we expecting that any day? Are you following me here? All right. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Now, they went to the Mount of Olives. He ascended. And what does it say? Where's he coming back? Same place. Coming back. Going to come back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to come through that eastern gate of Jerusalem. And he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. Hallelujah. Millennial kingdom. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem. Now, what did he told them about Jerusalem? What did he told them about Jerusalem? Stay there. A distance of a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. We call that the upper room. All right, go on to the next one, John. And here are the names of those who were present. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. And they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and brothers of Jesus. And during this time, when there were about 120 believers together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. So it grew from that little group of just those guys. Look at all the different people, and we're going to speak to that in just a moment. But grows to 120. There they are, waiting. So here's my question for you today. During that time, how did Jesus prepare His people for this new life that we've been talking about? How did He prepare them? He didn't just bang, it all happened at once. He had been preparing them, hadn't He? First point. He reminded them of all that went before. All the stuff in the Gospels. All that stuff. He's building on that. All of those relationships. All those times when Jesus would travel around with them. They'd be under a tree somewhere. Or they'd be at the temple. And there would be teaching time. He was building on that. Building on those experiences. But he had more to share with them. So he wasn't forgetting everything. I'm going to say to you, you know, a lot of times when we begin a new year and we want to start over, some of us throw the baby out with the bathwater. We throw out stuff God never meant for us to throw out. Things that God did, God said, we build on those things. Number two, He called on them to wait on the promise of God, the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, and He's going to be with you constantly. What was the limitation that Jesus in the flesh had that the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, does not have? One place. There you go. Uncle Roy said the word. In the Spirit, He's omnipresent. So, the very Spirit of Jesus Himself, can be with me when I'm standing in line at Kroger and being frustrated out of my mind. And, you know, just you start doing that blink thing and you're already in a hurry and you're frustrated before you get there. And then, you know, just that happens to you. You been there this week? All right. And so you can be with me there, or you can be with you where you're just praising the Lord in your quiet time and in your time alone with the Lord. He's with all of us. He's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit and power. You shall receive power. Remember that verse 8 we read it a moment ago? You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. They're waiting on this. Waiting on this. Number 3, He led them to be together physically. He commissioned them to go to Jerusalem and wait there. There's something about the dynamic of us physically being together. One of the great downsides of our electronic culture is that many of us think that being together online replaces our time of being face to face. Is that true? That's a lie. That's a lie. Because let me tell you, you can become all kinds of people online and give out all kinds of data about yourself, and they've got this idea of what you look like and who you are. But when you meet and you're there in person's presence physically, there's something mystical about that. All the communication lines that come open. One of the great places to look at it is two people that are engaged to be married. Remember that in your life. You know, sometimes you just sat there and just looked at each other. And boy, what's the subscript or what's the little bubble up above of all that's going through your mind at that time? Well, some of you might want to know, some of you might not want to know. But see, there's all this, you know, things are firing on all cylinders there. Your body, mind, soul, and spirit, your whole being, you're there. You're in the moment. You're not separated from it. See, He wanted them to be there physically, to be together, because He had something He wanted to do. Number 4, He brought them to Himself in unity. They came together. And what was the commonality that they all had? They were followers of Jesus. They gathered there together. It's funny that we always use Hebrews 10:25, which says, don't give up meeting together, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, whatever translation you use. We always use that as the moniker, the text verse about meeting together. Well, we'll use this one right here. This ought to be our text. As He brought the body, the church is about to be birthed. The body of Jesus, the physical body baptized in the Holy Spirit body of Jesus is about to be birthed. Pentecost, the church is born. That, you know, the word, the feast, the what the Jews call is the Shavuot. It's this, they called it 50th in Greek because it's 50 days. They knew exactly when it was going to happen. They believed that was when, on that day, historically, when they celebrated that feast, that feast of Shavuot, that was when they believed that the law came down to Moses on Sinai. Look at the parallelism. Yeah, the law, the Word of God came down. It's on that day that the Spirit of God comes to His church and He shows us how to keep the law. How we'll fulfill that. How we'll have the power to live the life He's called us to live. And they were there in unity. Let me say to you today, there is no replacement for unity, and the only route to unity is unity in the Spirit, where Jesus is Lord and the Holy Spirit is drawing us together. And you know what that means? We've got to take a good look at ourselves. Do you reckon when that 120 were gathered in that upper room, they would get, do you reckon that there were some times of confession of sin in their lives as the Spirit of God spoke to them? That's what the church doesn't want to hear today. Everyone wants to hear a message that's all, you know, happy, do a, you know, you do the five things and boom, your life is different. It all starts with God taking inventory here and for a cleansing of your heart, the bad attitudes, the sin in our lives. Number five, He led them to pray. There they are praying, praying without ceasing. They are praying in the Spirit, asking the Lord to speak, to reveal Himself. Did they know what to expect altogether? Let me ask you, as you pray, do you know what to expect altogether from the Spirit of God as for this new year, what He has for you? In a lot of ways, you've got to pray and trust God and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Who prayed that, by the way? Who prayed it? Jesus, as He's talking to His Father. Man, shouldn't that permeate our prayer? Not my will, but yours be done. He led them to pray. And number six, He broke down all the dividing walls. John, go back to that last verse of the that last page of the okay. There were the disciples, all them. They all met together, constantly united in prayer, along with, look at these people, different people. Mary, the mother of Jesus, several of the women, the brothers of Jesus, and then 120. You know, it was all together, it was 120. So think of all the dividing walls that would be there. You could have racial walls, You could have gender walls. You'd have all kinds of walls that would be created between this group or that group. But He brought them there in unity together and broke down these dividing walls. So, Jesus is preparing us in the same way. He's reminding you of everything that went before in your life. Where have you heard the voice of God? Where have you come in agreement with God and what He's doing in your life? He's reminding you of that now. Let Him. Let Him speak. He called on them to wait. He's calling on us to wait. That's a term that is abhorrent in our society. We don't want to wait for anything. We want instant everything. But calling on us to wait, because what can happen in a time of waiting when you're waiting before the Lord and you're praying? He begins to deal with you and me and our heart and getting us right. He's calling on us as a body to do that today. To wait on Him, to wait on the Spirit to come to speak. He led them to be together physically. There is no replacement for us being together both publicly and privately. In as we gather together in a big group body or in our small groups, or as we get together one-on-one with each other, there's no replacement for that. He's calling on us to make that a priority in this year, to be together. He's calling also on us to come to Him in unity. Is anybody you've had a disagreement with that's in this body right now? Every one of you ought to raise your hand because you've disagreed with yourself. Have you had disagreement? Have you had misunderstanding? It's time to get it right. It's time to be right before the Lord. For that not to be a blockade to our fellowship with each other as He leads us into this new year. He led them to pray. And do you think they prayed as a whole group? Do you think they prayed as little groups? Do you think they prayed individually? Do you think they prayed at different times of the day? They were waiting on the Lord. That was a charged place. There has never been a great move of God that has not been preceded by great prayer by God's people. It just doesn't happen. You look at the great awakenings in our country. You look at the Jesus movement that took place. You look at the movement of fire that came before that after World War II. And when Israel became a country in 48, and then people began to think, well, maybe God's prophetic clock is moving, and maybe He's about to do something in our lives, and all the things that happened after that. But what permeated all of it? Prayer. And it's time to break down any dividing wall that stands between us. If anything stands between us, we need to break it down. Not let it be a point of division. Because what our body needs to look like is what heaven's going to look like. That's all kinds of people from all walks of life, race, sex, economics, part of the country, accents. Just think, when we get to heaven, no one's going to think that I talk funny. My son-in-law Craig is shaking right now because Finley has started to speak a lot. And guess who he sounds like? Craig may be a California Orange County boy, but not Finley. He's starting to sound like his granddaddy. That's why the Ibergs moved back to Minnesota. I told him one day, we babysat little son. I said, she's going to grow up sounding like me. And Jeremy went, huh, we got to move. But just think, all dividing wall. What is God saying to you? Final question. Do you really want new life in this new year? Or at the end of 2017, if Jesus tarries, nothing's changed. Why not the exciting possibility of what God wants to do? And it starts with you, and other people can't do it for you. Husbands can't do it for their wives. Wives can't do it for their children. Parents can't do it for their children. New life. New year. Are you ready to let God remind you what's gone before? Wait on the Spirit of God. And that begins with prayer. We're together physically. And let the dividing walls come down so we can dwell together in unity here and be the church He has commanded us to be in the earth. I'm going to open the altar. And I'm challenging you today to begin to pray today. I'm challenging you to ask God, speak to me about what I have heard today. What about it? Do you want this or not? Do you want this new life? He wants to give more, more than you can imagine. Years ago, I was a young pastor, and I'd just come to this particular church, and a guy invited me out to his little farm. And just to show you how arrogant and self-absorbed I was, I thought, man, I want to go out to this guy's little farm with him. I need to be spending my time with people of influence. What's this guy got to offer? But the Holy Spirit wouldn't get off of my neck, and so I drove on out to his place. Went out there, came out, he had on suspenders and a shirt that looked like it had been threadbare for years. I mean, it was more threadbare than some of the clothing some of our teenagers wear. And he had been perspiring, and I mean he was working out there, and he said, "Come on back here, preacher, let me show you this and that." And he was starting to show me some of the things that he did there, and I noticed there was this one big barn area. It looked like he had a lot of machinery in there. Didn't know what that was. I was ignorant. Keyword, ignorant. Ignorant. So, I didn't ask him about it, and I wanted to get that visit over as quickly as I could, and I drove back to my office, and my secretary was there. She was waiting on me. She said, "Well, how'd your visit go with old Mr. So-and-so?" I said, "Well, went fine." She said, "Well, you know who he is?" I said, "Yeah." I gave her his name. He said, "No, that isn't what I asked you. Who he is?" I said, "Well, not really. Tell me." She said, "Did you know some machinery that was in this big?" I said, "Yeah." Said, "He has a patent on all of the machinery that presently does the majority of the citrus fruit coring and preparation for the whole United States. He's a multi-millionaire." That was back when that meant something. You know what? I didn't know what the next thing was. And here's this guy. He wanted to give money to our church. He wanted to help other people. In fact, he funded building this scout building, gave him the property, built the building, did all that. He wanted to do all that, but you would miss that if you stopped on what just you knew and not following the leadership of the Lord. I'm saying to you, to me, this year, God's got blessings like that for us that are around the corner. But we've got to embrace this new life in that He knows more about our lives than we do. Would you take the step with me today and begin this process of waiting on the Lord and letting Him prepare your life for this new year? Will you take that step with me today? And we're going to open the altar. You can sit where you are. You can come and pray here at the altar. Maybe you want to get someone and come to the altar and pray together. But I'm inviting us as a church to let the Holy Spirit prepare us. for what God wants to do in our lives this year. The half has never been told. Let's bow our heads. Right now, Spirit of God, we invite you to come. Come in this place. May we hear your voice clearly and plainly. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our arrogance. And Lord, prepare our hearts today to receive a fresh baptism, a fresh filling of the Spirit of God. Come, Lord, right now. The altar's open. Pastors will be here if you want to pray with one of us, but the altar's open. Come. What's standing in between you and all that God wants to do in your life? This is part of the preparation. Won't you respond to Him today? Now, I believe some of you, God's already put somebody on your heart that you need to be praying with right now. Let's be obedient to what He's saying to us right now. It all starts with obedience to His plan and purpose. Let's be obedient right now. We'd sure like to get those cards from you if you have an offering to bring. The baskets are up here and in the back. We'll receive those now. I want to encourage you to do something before the sun goes down today. I really believe a lot of you have heard something from the Lord. It may be something you can't describe, but I encourage you, before the day ends, write it down. If you've got to write down your Bible, your journal, write it down. Put it on your phone, your iPad. You know, write yourself a note. But put it down, because I believe God has spoken to you today. Now, what has He said to you? He's begun something today. Something in the heavenlies has shifted. And what is He going to do with that? It's not time to sit back. It's time to join Him and what He's doing in your life. It all starts with preparation. How's He wanting to prepare you? Those needs you have, those things you have, that you come to the Lord again and again and again. Let me give you this illustration. God gave me this last night. He said, "This is the last thing you need to tell people today. When the tide rises, all ships rise." And you think of those ships as all your needs, all the things that you're going before the Lord. But when the tide rises, when the Spirit of God comes, the flow of Him in your life, when that tide rises, it affects everything in your life. And maybe you're shooting with a shotgun and God is calling you to begin shooting with a rifle. It starts here. Am I going to let the Spirit of God speak to me? Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. It all starts with preparation. Lord, now, send us out. Send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Send us out with salvation on our lips, healing in our hearts, deliverance in our actions. Lord, may we see, may we hear, may we understand what your will and your purpose is for us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.